I just want to say thank you, first of all, for the privilege to come here and to preach to you this morning. I just want to say thank you for everybody that's been friendly to me, welcoming me as I walked in. You guys made me feel like I was at home, and I just feel like I'm back at my home church. Everybody's just friendly, and I just love the Spirit. Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. Exodus, chapter number 3. Unlike Brother said this morning, I just actually graduated from Bible college this spring, so the next thing on my schedule, I have to do an internship, so I will be going to Newfoundland this summer for 3 weeks in July and working with Pastor Boyd Stansford in Marystown, Newfoundland. I'm not too sure if you guys are familiar with the name or not, but I'll be there for 3.5 weeks, and then next fall I might be moving to St. Thomas to work with Pastor Stone and Pastor Holland there at Bible Baptist and help out in the youth department there. So I'm just excited for the opportunities that I'm getting, and I'm thankful for them. And I'm just praying to see what God has for me in store in the future. So Exodus chapter 3, here we read about the story of Moses. He's a very familiar and popular character in the Bible. Most of you, if not all, have heard a lot about Moses. And here he's keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro. And he's in the desert, and he's at the backside of the wilderness, and he comes to Mount Horeb, also known as the Mountain of God, and he sees this thing out of the corner of his eye. He notices a bush that is caught on fire. And he notices not only is this bush caught on fire, but he sees that it's not being burnt. The fire is not consuming the bush. And so he's wondering. And so he approaches this bush, and as he gets closer, he hears a voice coming from this bush. This voice was none other than the voice of God, as we read in the first few verses of Exodus chapter 3. And so Moses hears the voice of God saying, "Moses, take off your shoes, because the place on which you're standing, it's holy ground. God is here. And wherever God is a holy place." And so Moses says, "Okay, Lord, here am I." And Moses, he has this conversation with God. And we're going to pick up our reading here in Exodus chapter 3, in verse number 11. And the Bible says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me to you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you, and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, and of the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey." Here in our text, Moses tries to come up with a few excuses to not listen and obey the calling of God in his life. God had appeared to Moses in this burning bush in the first few verses, and he wanted Moses to go to Pharaoh and to ask to deliver God's chosen people out of slavery and into the promised land. And excuses are nothing new. You don't need to read very far into the Bible to come to the first excuse. We read in the first few chapters of Genesis, Adam and Eve, they made excuses when they ate of the forbidden fruit and they sinned against God. And excuses are nothing new. In our day and age, people haven't changed very much. We're all guilty of making excuses. Some of us claim to have good excuses. Some of us say our excuses aren't great, and we'll admit it. And some people just have downright lame excuses. For the last 10 years, a job listing site called CareerBuilder puts out a list it calls the most unbelievable excuses for calling in sick. And these are just a few of them. Last year, an employee said he couldn't come in because his false teeth flew out the window while he was driving down the highway. Another claimed that someone had glued her windows and doors shut so she couldn't get out of her house. This year, the excuses include a worker who said he felt he had to stay at a casino because he had money left over from a gambling weekend. And to top it off, there was the lady who said she couldn't come into work because she was in a good mood and didn't want to ruin it. And we sit here and we say, I don't really make weird excuses like that. But I'm sure everybody in this room can agree with me that any excuse is still an excuse. And any excuse we make to you know, disobey or not listen to the calling of God in our lives, then that excuse becomes a sin. And so I've entitled the message this morning, "What is your excuse?" And there's three excuses that we see that Moses gives God here in Exodus chapter 3 and Exodus chapter 4. And I'd really just want to consider these three excuses and how even today we're often guilty of making these very same excuses. So the first excuse we see is found in verses 11 and 12 of our text. Moses says right off the bat to God, "Lord, who am I? Who am I?" He's probably thinking to himself, okay, for the past 40 years I've been a shepherd. I'm in the middle of a desert. I basically don't talk to anybody. I have a criminal record. You know, back in Egypt, Moses actually murdered a man. And God wants Moses to go to Pharaoh, the man who easily can say, "Hey, you murdered a man, you're gone." And God wants Moses to go to Pharaoh and to deliver his people. That's pretty bold. And Moses says, "Lord, who am I? You know, do you have the right person?" And how often are we like Moses and we say, "God, who am I to, you know, witness to my coworker or to tell that unsaved family member about Jesus Christ? I can't do this. I'm inadequate." But the truth is, God will be with us. Look at verse number 12 in Exodus chapter 3. God promises Moses, he says, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee." The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God who created, you know, the land, the sea, the entire universe, he promises to be with Moses, and he promises to be with you and I as we go about our daily lives. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, Jesus says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And whenever I read this passage here in Exodus chapter 3, and Moses saying, you know, "Who am I?" I think of Isaiah chapter 6. Actually, we can turn there this morning. We have time. I won't be very long. I don't want to bore you guys too much. Isaiah chapter number 6, we read the calling of Isaiah. In verse number 1, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I, Isaiah, saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims," they were angels, "each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." You know, we have a choice. We can either be like Isaiah and say, "Lord, here am I, send me, I'll do whatever you ask me to do," and we can obey God and he will bless us. Or we can be like Moses was at first and say, "Lord, do you have the right person? I'm afraid to talk in front of people. I'm afraid, you know, to get involved because I might fail." But the truth is, God promises to be with us. Remember, it has nothing to do with who we are. It has nothing to do with our talents, our skills, our abilities. It has everything to do with who God is, because he is the source of our strength. So the next time you think you have an excuse why God can't use you, remember, Noah was a drunk, Abraham was too old, Isaac was a daydreamer, Jacob was a liar, Joseph was abused, Moses, David, and Paul were all murderers, Gideon was afraid, Samson was blinded, Jeremiah and Timothy were too young, Elijah was suicidal, Jonah ran away, Naomi was a widow, Job lost everything, John the Baptist ate locusts, yummy, Peter was hot-tempered, John was self-righteous, the disciples, they fell asleep when Jesus went up to pray, Martha was a worrier, the boy with the loaves and the fish, he was unknown, Zacchaeus was too short, Peter was too impulsive. We have no excuse to serve God because he promises to be with us. He's the one that will go with us, and he promises to go with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So we need to learn to keep our focus on God and who he is. So the first excuse Moses gives God is, "Who am I?" The second excuse, back in our text in Exodus chapter 3, Moses says, "What shall I say? What shall I say?" We see this in verses 13 to 14. "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, what shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. Have you ever been in a situation before where you said something and you just wish that you could take it back? Or you said something and you're thinking, what was I thinking? For the past 4 years to pay my way through Bible college, I was working at Canadian Tire back home in the sports department there. And I can remember this one particular shift. It was just an ordinary shift. I noticed a customer at the front of the store who looked like he needed some assistance. So I approached the customer and I got closer and I said, hey, sir, did you need a hand? And as I walked around this skid of washer fluid between the customer and I realized that this customer, he only had one hand. And I just realized, I just asked the guy with one hand if he needed a second hand. And I felt so guilty, and I was in a situation where I had no idea what to say next, and I was also in a situation where I was thinking to myself, why did I just say that? The customer played off well. But the moral of the story, sometimes we get in situations where we don't know what to say, and we just ask God, you know, are you sure you've got the right person? I don't know what to say. But the truth is, God gives us the words to speak. Moses was the exact same way as we just read in verse number 13. He asks God what he should say when he goes to the children of Israel. And God says, tell him that I have sent you. In verse number 13, what shall I say unto them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. God gave Moses the words to speak. And we might say, you know, if God gave me word for word what to say, it would be a lot easier, you know, to witness to my coworkers or to my family members. But the truth is, although it might not be word for word, God has given us what to say here in the Bible, in his word. This book, it's truth. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. So how about us? Do we use the excuse, you know, I don't know what to say in our soul winning? You know, maybe when we're like knocking on doors or we're at work and we see that coworker, or at that family reunion, and we know that there's somebody who doesn't know who Jesus Christ is, but we're just too scared to go talk to them. I'm often guilty of this. To be honest, I'm super nervous being up here this morning. I'm a pretty shy guy. I don't like going and meeting new people, and so for me to go door knocking and witnessing to people that I don't even know, it takes a lot for me to do that. And the truth is, God promises to be with us. He promises to tell us and show us what to say in his word, because it has all the truths in here. And the real question shouldn't be, you know, what should I say? The real question we ought to ask ourselves is, what does God say about the situation? God's word will not return void. Isaiah chapter 55 gives a really clear picture about God's word. In verses 8 through 11, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So whenever God's word has a purpose, it will fulfill it. You know, we can witness to somebody, but unless we use the word of God, our words aren't going to have any power behind them. It's God's word that will not return void. The power is not in us. It's in God. It's in his word. In verses 17 to 21 here in Exodus chapter 3, God promises Moses some things that he would do for him. In verse number 17, God says, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt. In verse 20, God says, I will stretch out my hand and smite the Egyptians. In verse 21, God says, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. But Moses, he still continues to doubt God, even though God's giving him all these promises. And so many times, I find myself guilty of this exact same thing as Moses. God promises me all these things in his word, like he'll never leave me nor forsake me. He'll be with me, you know, wherever I go. He'll give me the words to speak. But I still get scared, and I still make excuses and say, God, I can't do this. And we can't do this on our own. We need God's help. So God performs two miracles here in Exodus for Moses to try and open his eyes to have more faith in him. The first one, he tells him to cast the rod that's in his hand on the ground, and God turns it into a snake right before his eyes. He tells him to pick it up again by the tail, and boom, it's a rod again. Moses sees God perform a miracle right before his eyes, and he's still doubting. Another miracle right after that, God tells Moses to put his hand inside his cloak. He puts his hand in, he takes it out, he's got leprosy on his hand. He sees it for himself, he puts it back in, takes it out, it's cleansed. God's working miracles, God's showing his power to Moses, and yet he still doubts God. And we're often guilty of this ourselves. So we fast forward to chapter number 4 in verses 10 to 12, and Moses keeps using his speech as an excuse. He says, O my Lord, in verse number 10 of chapter 4, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. So this brings us to the third and the final excuse that I'd like us to consider this morning. Moses says, first of all, Lord, who am I? Second of all, he says, what shall I say? And thirdly, Moses says, Lord, why not him? Why not somebody else for the task? Why can't you pick somebody else? But the truth is, God wants to use each and every single one of us. Notice verse 13 of chapter 4. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth. And I will teach you what ye shall do. God had given Moses signs confirming that he would be with him through the miracles of the rod and the leprosy. And God still has to try and persuade Moses even more to put his faith in him. And Moses questions God, and he says, Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. In other words, Lord, pick somebody else for the task. I think that you've got the wrong person. I can remember playing in a hockey league when I was younger. I had the privilege of playing hockey all growing up. My dad was always the coach, so it was always our bonding time. And I can remember one time we were in the championship game of our hockey league, and it was a smaller league. We only had four teams, and each team only had like 8 or 9 players. So we would run 3 defensemen. And I remember one game, it was the finals. We were winning 2-1 going into the third period, and I was playing defense along with 2 of my other friends. And I remember my dad walking down to the end of the bench where this guy named Eric was sitting, and we called him Big Eric because he was Eric and he was big. And he was sitting there, and I remember my dad tapping him on the shoulder saying, Eric, you're up next, you're going to start the third. And I remember Eric, he just sat there with his arms crossed and said, No, I'm not going out there. I don't want to be the guy that, you know, turns over the puck and causes the other team to score the tying goal. Or I don't want, you know, to be the reason that we might blow this lead or lose this championship. And so Eric, he basically volunteered the other two of us to stay on the ice for the entire third period. And I didn't complain. I loved the ice time. And so Eric, he said, you know, send somebody else, coach. And that got me thinking, reflecting back, you know, how many times has God came over to me and, you know, tapped me on the shoulder or pricked my heart saying, you know, that coworker that's struggling, going through a tough time, why don't you go and talk to them? And I'll just say, you know, Lord, maybe somebody else, another Christian will run to them. But they might not get another chance, and we never know. And sometimes we just need to put our fears and possible failures aside and to say, God, okay, I will do what you have for me. And how often are we like that? We get tapped on the shoulder or pricked by the Holy Spirit and we just say no. And to be honest, it's a sin to do that, because when God leads, we need to obey that. And Moses was the same way. He's basically saying, you know, here am I, Lord, send Aaron, my brother. I can't do this. And we have nothing to fear when God's on our side. The Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Corinthians says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. It's not of us, it's of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Nothing we can do, it's the Spirit. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, for it's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings or disputings. So don't complain, just obey God, and he promises to bless you. So how about us this morning? Is there an excuse in our life that's, you know, causing us to not have a close fellowship with God? Do we say, Lord, who am I? We need to remember it's not about who we are, it's everything about God. He's the one that gives us the power. Do we say, Lord, what shall I say? I don't know what to say. The truth is, God's given us his word, and he's promised to be with us. Or do we say, thirdly, you know, God, why not him? Send somebody else for the task. I can't do this. We need to put our trust in God and not in man. We all know the outcome of the story. Moses went on to eventually obey the calling of God in his life. He eventually delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, and God used him in a great way because he finally said, "Lord, yes, I'll do it." And what about us? Do we know what our outcome is going to be? Of course not yet, but we're never going to find out unless we obey God. And maybe you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure where you would spend eternity. Maybe you're not too sure, you know, everything with God and Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here for the first time. And don't let excuses hold you back from trying to find more about Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 3, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of our sin is death." And the only way we can get eternal life is through what? It's through a gift. That gift was Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. And the gift is there for you. If you've never received that gift this morning, I pray and just challenge you to really just to step out and say, "God, show me more about this. I know that heaven might not be my home when I pass from this earth." The truth is, we don't know when we're going to pass from this earth. Just 2 months ago, my mom, 50 years old, boom, gone. Like, we don't know how long our lives are like vapors, the Bible says. And the truth is, we don't know if we're going to have another day. And if there's somebody here this morning and they don't know that heaven is their home, then I really pray that you would trust Christ as your Savior. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." God is looking for willing vessels to be used who will say, "Lord, here am I, send me." And God wants us to obey his calling in our lives.